This is the Funky Gamer Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello there, and welcome to this episode of the Funky Gamer Podcast. This is episode 20. We're a gaming podcast from a bunch of wannabe somebody, yet still nobody, British dudes who think they know stuff. I am your host, Ricky James, and in this week's show, we'll be touching on many topics from, well, Google Stadia, because we didn't speak about that last week, to the recent conferences by Gearbox and Sony, as well as a bunch of other stuff. It is all gung-ho. As always, though, to discuss this and more, I'd like to introduce my amazing co-host, Mr. Chris Wright. How on earth hast thee been since we last doth spake?
Every damn week. Come on, give me a break. Yeah, I'm fine.
Good, I'm glad you're okay. I'll let you into a little secret as well. I went and found a standard modern day to ye olde English translator on Google.
Great.
This is really going to help my endeavor.
Well, yes, and annoy the hell out of everybody else.
Well, I just wanted to let you and everybody listening know that the Victorian stuff isn't going to go away anytime soon. Sorry about that. I like it. Listen, I could go a lot worse, but let's not muddle on that.
If you don't like Ricky's Victorian, then please let us know.
Yes, as I'm sure we will get nothing because people love it, basically. That's the takeaway I'm going to take away.
That is what we can assume if nobody gets in touch.
Exactly. Now, you may have noticed that there's no Geordie one this week, unfortunately. Due to upcoming university commitments, he's not unable to sit down with for the recording, so basically we want to wish Dave all the best with finishing his upcoming assignments and hope he's here with us next week, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Best of luck. So, other than that, I think we should probably just move on, Chris, talk about the stuff that we've been playing since last week.
Yeah, let's do that.
What are you playing?
Righty-doke, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go first. What have you been on with since we last spoke? And is it anything more than The Division?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think. Yeah, I did actually try Battlefield 5's Battle Royale mode this week.
You did? What was your assessment?
It's another Battle Royale game.
I could have told you this weeks ago.
It does absolutely nothing new to the genre. It will not get you excited if you don't already enjoy Battle Royale. If you're already bored of Battle Royale, it will do nothing for you at all.
Well, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed. I did quite well. I played a few games and didn't die immediately in all of them.
Wow. It's at least good enough to allow you to survive, put it that way.
Yeah, I survived, found a gun, managed to get a few kills in there as well, so that was nice.
Are a lot of people playing it? Did it take ages to like queue or anything like that?
No, it was pretty immediate. I tried it a couple of days after launch just to see how it settled in and see what was going on with it. But yeah, it's nothing majorly new.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you actually giving that a go because there's no way I'd have touched that with a barge pole.
I also gave Vampire a go on the Xbox. It's just come to Game Pass.
Yes, we mentioned that last week, I remember.
Yes, yeah, it is now live on Game Pass. It's an interesting game.
Okay, this is apparently, Dave said it was by the guys that made Life is Strange.
Yes, the Don't Nod people.
Excellent. And is it different in like outlook and, I don't know, gameplay?
Yes, yeah, it is. The hell of a lot different. It's a free-roaming sort of mull about London from what I can tell so far.
Really? That definitely sounds... Well, I haven't played Life is Strange. It's still one on my to-do list. I've got it on my console, but I certainly haven't played Vampyr.
Yes, yeah, it's cool. It's an interesting start to the whole story. You get infected, become a vampire, and then start working in a hospital.
That sounds bizarre.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird segue, but we'll ignore that and just move on.
Okay, shall I tell you what I've been playing since last week?
Go for it.
Unless you've got anything you want to add, by the way. I know we've...
No, nothing. I think I'm done with those three. I think that's more than enough for this week.
Okay, is that how you gaze this? You don't just say everything you've been playing. You go, well, three's enough.
Three's enough. I did dip back into Anthem because obviously the patch launched and I didn't get anything new or exciting, but I have managed to level up my Colossus, which is nice.
Well, if you want, we can have a bit more of a chat about that later because we do mention the Anthem patch as one of our new segments,
yes,
spoilers, but
cool.
There you go. So perhaps we can chat about that then. That'd be cool. So I've been playing... Believe it or not, I haven't played any games of service games this week. So Anthem, Division 2, haven't touched either of those.
Oh.
Just because, namely time. And I don't know, you've got to kind of be in the mood for that kind of thing. And I've exhausted myself a little bit over the last couple of weeks just because of those two games. So I thought...
Bless you.
I will take a little bit of time out and try and play something else. This week, I've been playing a game called Unmechanical Extended. This is also on Game Pass. So this is on my Xbox. And it's basically a 2.5D platformer. And it's pretty good. It's like this, you got like a limited control set. You control a little robot. And all you can pretty much do is move. And he has a tractor beam to pick stuff up and, you know, kind of pull stuff, basically.
Okay.
And you've got typical environmental puzzles, your platformer stuff. Nice art style, pretty fun, not too easy. Yeah, quite liking it, actually. Not completed it, but it's good for a platformer. Do have one minor complaint, but this isn't down to the game or the way that it plays. This is a bit of a unique complaint. That it's about the way that they give their achievements, can you believe?
Right.
So, like most people in my life, I've got a few things that I'm a wee bit OCD about. And this varies from person to person, and it's normally about really specific things. With me, it's numbers. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you're in somebody's car and they've got like a digital display and they turn the volume up and you get the digits that tell you what the volume's set to?
Yeah, I have to have mine set on an even number.
Yes, right. This is my problem also. So it's, but this kind of transcends beyond things like CD players. This also applies to things like GamerScore. Now, about a year ago, I can't remember what the game was, but I played a game that basically gave me a 5G achievement. And this spoiled my game score, my overall game score, by meaning that I now had like, I don't know, 30,055 instead of a nice round even number.
Okay.
And I've been suffering with that for months because there's no other game out there that will offer another 5G achievement to even things out. So anyway, the point I'm getting at, in this specific game, Unmechanical Extended, my qualm is basically the fact that every single achievement that you get in that game is 66G.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
My gamer score is now 51,174. And that bugs me.
As it would.
It's contributing to an overall problem. So I'm going to say go ahead and check out the game. But God, if you've got OCD to the level I have about this kind of thing, beware.
Yeah, I don't want to now. You've put me right off it.
This is, you see, people like me exist, and you are one of them. Although, let's be fair, Chris, the similarities between me and you, they're fairly condensed.
Yes, absolutely.
That's pretty much all I've been playing, though.
Okay.
But it's been decent. We'll continue to play it.
As long as you've enjoyed yourself. I think that's the main thing.
The only thing that I can really do to ratify this is that, bear in mind that the idea that if I complete the game 100%, that will equal 1,000G. So it will eventually even itself out. But that's a lot of work just for that.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to go through and fully complete it. I'm guessing there's other bits and pieces that require more of a playthrough.
It's a bit of an intimidating game. It's quite Metroidvania-like in that there's big open areas that have sub-areas that you can go in and do puzzles in. And then all in all, it just kind of gets eventually quite overwhelming. And having only played it for around about 4 hours, 5 hours, there's probably tons that you need to do to be able to achieve like a full 1,000 gamer score. So don't think I'll do it, but we'll...
Sounds like it'd give me a headache.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. So go check it out. It's on the Xbox One Game Pass service. So they have screenshots and stuff, reviews on there. If you want to have a look at it, I would recommend it. Why don't we have a quick plug here for the Games with Gold and PSN games for April, as we are about to go into a new month. I think is that Monday with the day that this releases?
Yes, Monday it is.
Happy New Month, ladies and gentlemen, and happy April Fool's Day. We did not do an April Fool's, which I'm now gutted about.
No, to be honest, I'm glad we didn't, because it would have been annoying as hell.
It would not. It would have been hilarious.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't believe you.
We haven't done one, though, so don't worry about it. Anyway, on Games with Gold for Xbox in the coming month of April, you can acquire the following. First up, a game called The Technomancer. It's an action RPG where you basically explore Mars in a post-apocalyptic society. Don't know what that means, but you can play it from April 1st to the 30th on your Xbox One. Following that, Outcast Second Contact. This is a remake of an action adventure game that was originally titled Outcast. It was released for Windows desktops back in 1999, which is a long time ago. It was a remake that came out a couple of years ago. This is available from April 16th to May 15th, so the middle of next month of May, on your Xbox One again. Then your back compact titles, Star Wars Battlefront 2. This is not the EA remake, thank God. This is the classic 2005 original Xbox game, and it's available from April 1st to the 15th, so half the month on your Xbox 360 and your Xbox One via backwards compatibility. And finally, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, a tactical action game that's obviously set within the Ghost Recon franchise. April 16th to the 31st on your Xbox 360 and Xbox One via back compat. You can get all of those. I'll put them in the show notes for you to reference if you wish to do so. Chris, why don't you tell us about the PSN games?
I will. Conan Exiles is your first one. what have you written in the notes here? Okay.
Oh God, yeah. Sorry. There are a few curveballs. I'm just gonna tell you that now.
I'll read this as written. Open world survival game originally released in full in May 2018. It was in early access for over a year. It allowed players to show sausage and foof on the character selection screen.
So this is, I don't know if you remember this, when this game first went into early access, one of the big talking points I remember in the media was that you could basically play naked.
Really?
And I mean full on naked.
Okay. That would make it stand out.
Exactly. So I put that there because people might remember that was a thing once, but you can indeed play this game naked.
Right. The other game for your PlayStation this month is The Surge, an action RPG released in May 2017. Apparently a spiritual successor to Lords of the Fallen, and if you like your Dark Souls, Bloodborne style of game, it is a bit like that.
Yeah, believe so anyway. Haven't played it myself, but that's what we've garnered from the webs and people that have played it.
That's what we need, really.
I know. So those are the games that you can get for PSN. Xbox, PlayStation, or the PSN games are for PS4, as we mentioned probably about a month ago now.
Yeah.
There you go. Go check those out if you want to do that. They're available from April 2nd on PlayStation, by the way. That's when their service updates to introduce those games. And they're available all month long. Shall we move on to the news and discussion? Because we've got some stuffs to talk about.
We've got a fair bit this week, yeah.
We certainly have. Most of it is just news. Some of these things we've kind of garnered, we might not have necessarily an opinion on. Whilst we try and comment on everything we put forward, I figure we might as well start introducing stuff that's just interesting or prominent to people that like gaming in general. So let's go ahead and talk about a bunch of stuff.
Funky Gamer, news and discussion.
Okay, first up on this list, because we didn't talk about it last week.
It's because none of us were really interested.
It's still kind of the case. I don't know about you.
Yeah, let's not sugarcoat this.
We're not going to. I've just got some facts, or what I presume to be facts from the web, that effectively outline exactly what this whole Google Stadia thing is all about. For those of you that haven't been sleeping under a rock, this was originally announced by Google. It is a service called Stadia. And it's a work-in-progress game streaming service. They announced this at a conference on March 19th. Now, this is intended to be a game service that's powered by the cloud, multi-platform, i.e. from your mobile to your desktop. You can play games across all those devices. And they intend it to be able to deliver 4K 60fps streaming, which is a...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's a very large goal to have. The service is expected to be launching in the US, Canada, the UK, and selected parts of Europe at the end of this year. They reckon that the service will be able to deliver around 10.5 teraflops worth of compute power.
I love it when they talk about teraflops.
That's the only number that I've included here, because teraflops seems to be the only tech buzzword that people understand these days when it comes to power.
People love it.
Exactly. So they have said that there's a custom process, and they've given us some specs on that, and they've said it's got plenty of memory. But I am putting that simply, basically, just for the ease of reporting. Now, they haven't really said much more than that. We don't really know what games are going to be featured on the service. A number of AAA titles are expected to be available, but nothing has been officially confirmed by Google. What we can tell you is that Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Doom Eternal were demoed as part of the service, so it's very likely that those two will make an appearance. Now, I've just put here, it's an interesting topic. Because we primarily cover console gaming, and we primarily play on consoles between the three of us.
Oh, that reminds me.
What?
I got a complaint via text last week.
Oh, God. Oh, so you did. I tell you what, I know about this because I had a comment on the SoundCloud
yes.
episode. So why don't we... So you've reminded me. I wasn't going to put anything in the feedback, but why don't we save that for a little bit later?
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, anyway... That's with regards to PC gaming, which kind of, I guess, Stadia definitely pertains to. So, not much to really say on it. Do you have any thoughts on this, Chris, other than that it's a thing?
I think it's a nice idea. If you have a terrible internet connection, then it's not going to be for you, really.
No, but I don't think people with terrible net connections are the target audience somehow.
No, I guess we'll wait and see what Google pull out from this, because you look at the, I don't know, was the Steam console, was that a thing? Did that actually launch in the end?
Yes, I think it did. I don't know.
And it didn't, I don't think it lasted very long if it did, let's be honest.
The NVIDIA handheld things have been a thing for a while, because I know somebody that owns one of them. It's like an Android-based device.
Yeah.
That's more mobile gaming, I suppose, if it's running Android.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wait. All we can do is wait and see with this thing. And I'm guessing as we come towards launch, we'll find out a bit more about it and whether it's going to appeal to anybody.
For sure. And what I will say is I do think that this, as scary as this is, and as many reasons as there are to really hate this, and many of those I agree with, I will just add there, it's definitely a potential future for gaming. And in a lot of ways, it kind of makes sense. You know, why hold on to these traditions just because they're traditions? I get why, you know, it's hard for change, and that's a difficult factor here. And I think part of me struggles with that aspect of this as well.
We all fear change.
Exactly. But all in all, I do think that this makes sense in terms of technology and the way that the future could work for gaming. So we'll see what Google has to say in the future, but that's what we know as of right now.
Very little.
Chris, do you want to tell us something else that's come out from another mobile-based company this week?
Yeah, there was a sort of an Apple conference in the week, which didn't really reveal a great deal of stuff, but they did reveal the Apple Arcade.
Ooh, what is this?
It is a subscription service for your mobile phone. If you have an Apple device, yes, it will be coming to you.
And only you.
Should you wish to subscribe, yeah. It's sort of similar thing to Game Pass with what Microsoft are doing. You'll be able to pay all your subs for Apple, all your Apple things in one massive bundle. God knows what kind of prices they're going to go with.
So yeah, it's basically like a Game Pass service. They have like a catalogue of games. You pay a single fee per month and you get to play them, basically. But this does extend to like the Apple TV and stuff, so it's not necessarily just mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that there are a sort of a broader spectrum for this kind of thing.
There's a very good chance that this will be successful. We've seen Microsoft have had a lot of success with Game Pass on their service, and that's exclusive to Microsoft's platform. Apple arguably have many more devices out there in the world between Macs, Apple TVs, iPhones, iPads, and all of these devices will be supported. I think it's kind of a cool future. I don't use mobile gaming all that much. Do you think you'd ever use something like this? Because I know you kind of occasionally dabble.
Yeah, I do a little bit of mobile gaming, but never that much. Never enough to warrant me subscribing to a service that lets me play stuff.
No. It's worth saying as well, I don't think they've announced any price plans for this, so we don't really know how much it's going to cost at this point.
It can't be that expensive.
I don't think it will be, but cost will obviously be a huge factor for most people.
Yeah, well,
when it comes to deciding whether or not they want to invest in this kind of thing.
Yeah, if they price it right, they've got an absolute goldmine on their hands. If they get it wrong, then they're screwing it from the start.
Exactly. And there is a minor irony as well here, if you think about it. This is effectively, as we've just said, it's kind of Apple copying Microsoft with Game Pass.
It's a good idea.
If you know the history between those two companies, you know exactly why that's an ironic thing, really. But there you go. Okay. Let's move on to some more interesting stuff that might be more interesting. Hopefully those two things were interesting, but we're going to talk about the Sony and Gearbox panels that have just taken place in the last week. We have spoken about these and the fact that they're going to be taking place. Both of them now happened. They're over. So let's have a quick discussion about both of those. Start off with Sony.
Sony's state of play.
Yes.
What a state.
It was a state, wasn't it? I've just put it was turd in the notes here.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, I think. There was us hoping for something decent to come out of this. And what did Sony go and do? Bugger all.
They did absolutely nothing of note, really. It was a very heavy focus on VR, which for some people is excellent. For the majority, pretty disappointing. I can't believe I sat there feeling so embarrassed as I watched it thinking, I can't believe I said on last week's episode, we might see something from Naughty Dog.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing that grandiose.
Sony threw me under the bus.
Yeah, how dare they?
I know. How ridiculous. So
I did have my flatmate messaging me saying we needed to get VR now because there was an Iron Man game reveal.
Well, this was the two VR-based titles that I noted was Iron Man and No Man's Sky. They were the only two real things, and there were many VR-related things that made me go, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. And that was the majority of the focus of their keynote, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Or their stream, at least. And it's worth noting that, as we just said, there were no real first or second party reveals or announcements. The only two things that were there that were probably of note to anybody that's interested in PS4 gaming were Days Gone, which we know a little bit more about now, I suppose, and Crash Team Racing Nitro, I think it was called.
Okay.
A Crash Bandicoot-based racing game. So there you go.
We had a Crash Bandicoot racing game years ago.
I think it's a remake. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Could be wrong. But that was basically it. Chris, how did you feel as a diehard Sony fan, man?
Why did they bother?
This is a question on a lot of people's lips. Why don't you just tweet this?
Yeah, they could have just, I don't know, stuck the videos on YouTube and let everybody just watch them if they wanted. There was no real reason to hold a massive sort of state of play press conference and say, yeah, guys, this is what we've got coming. You're all excited for it? No, we are not. That is the answer.
And they called it state of play as well, which was, oh God, so unfavorable to them when you find out what they actually came out with. It's like, oh, that's the state of the company right now in terms of games and stuff. That's like, wow, that's...
Yeah, hopefully if they get more frequent with this kind of thing, hopefully they'll have learned from that episode and give us something we actually want to see.
I know, but bear in mind, Chris, that follows on from a fairly horrific E3 last year. You think they'd have learned some lessons from that?
Yeah, it seems Sony are massively screwing the pooch right now.
I know, the pooch is being royally screwed.
Hang on, can we not go there?
We all know how you feel about petting dogs, Chris.
No, let's not.
Okay, fair play.
Moving on.
We don't have much more to say on Sony stuff because that was pretty much it. They didn't give us much else to talk about, unfortunately. Fairly disappointing. Gearbox, on the other hand, well, this was another kettle of fish, wasn't it? I actually watched this from start to finish.
Did you?
Granted, yeah, I have actually watched the entirety of the show, the keynote that they did at PAX.
Okay.
And it was all right. It's not the worst conference I've ever seen. We got Borderlands 3, of course, which everybody knows about by now.
Yeah, we all knew it was coming.
We did. And they basically announced it before the conference anyway with teasers and such. But we don't really know a hell of a lot about this. Unfortunately, at this stage, we know that there's going to be some new Vault Hunters, which are the protagonists that you play as in the Borderlands games. There's four of them. We don't know their names, anything about them as far as I know. I'm guessing that's all information that's to come out of Gearbox in the near future.
Didn't they say there wasn't going to be a Battle Royale mode in this game? Or did I imagine that?
No, right at the beginning, they basically said, I think they jokingly announced that they were making Borderlands Battle Royale.
Right.
And then quickly clarified that that was not the kind of game that we're making. Very quickly, in fact. So there was that, the Borderlands stuff, which pretty much everybody knows about. Sadly, not a hell of a lot of information, as I've just said. But we did also get some publisher updates from Gearbox Publishing. Basically, a few interesting things, I suppose. Some DLC for We Happy Few's due in the next, couple of months, I think. I think it's in April that lands. There was a trailer for a game called Risk of Rain 2, which is a really cool roguelike-looking game that actually piqued my interest slightly. I'm not really into that kind of thing, but the video that they showed demoing how the game plays and how, like, you respawn and start over, it's one of those, you know, you die, you start over again.
Okay.
And it actually looks all right. I like the art style. So there was that. They also announced a new Borderlands tabletop game, with which, and I'm only going to say this once, Randy Pitchford did magic.
Shut up. No, he didn't.
He did a card trick. He did a card trick on stage.
Oh my God.
Now, it was impressive to a degree, but it was I've studied some magic before.
Right.
And I'm aware of how this kind of trick works, and it's always done with some pre-planning. So I doubted the authenticity of the way this was done, mainly because I know. To anybody watching, I'm sure it was impressive, but yeah. If you want to see Randy Pitchford do some magic, I'm sure YouTube is already littered with videos demonstrating that for you to go and watch.
You know, I think I'm all right.
It wasn't as cringy as some of the other parts of the conference that really were like a proper cringe fest. Namely, in line with technical difficulties, they had a number of issues playing their video announcement trailers, including the final announcement trailer for Borderlands right at the end of the show. They had some awful stuttering, and it turned out that they had, I think it was equipment provided by PAX that simply couldn't handle 4K video output.
Awesome.
So it was trying to watch the presenters attempt to do a commendable job of holding the audience whilst they fix those things. Yeah, a little bit cringy in parts.
Sounds it.
So other than, I take it you don't really have any reaction to the Gearbox stuff. I've put surprise, disappointment, or erectile dysfunction question mark.
The last one. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's all right. If you're excited for Borderlands 3 and I'm guessing the We Happy Few DLC will be welcomed with open arms by a few people.
Yeah, for sure. Because that game's pretty much been in the same state since it came out, a number of months now. So,
and I've not really seen much on Risk of Rain, so I might need to look into that.
I would encourage you to have a look at that. Again, it's not the type of thing that I would normally play, but it looked interesting to me. It just, I don't know. Be interested to see what you think, actually, Chris, on that.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
Unfortunately, our resident Borderlands dude, Dave, is, as we mentioned at the top of the show, not with us this week, so I can't really get his input, but I'll hopefully ask him next week if I remember, because I'm sure he's got a fair bit to say on this. No, he's a big fan of those games, so...
Yeah, we'll add it to the notes for next week.
And we can ask him about that. So those were the two conferences that came around this week. No real surprises, because we already knew about Borderlands. Sony didn't come out with anything interesting, so yeah, nothing special on those fronts. We can report based on our own experience.
Grand. Good job, everybody.
Yeah, I'd love to know the listener experience with those two. If you watch them, you have any thoughts on the things that got announced or discussed, get in touch. We'll plug some stuff at the end of the show, or you can check the show notes for that. What have we got next, Chris?
Sega have come out and announced a Mega Drive Mini.
Oh my god.
Which will delight a lot of Sega fans. Obviously, we've had a few mini consoles released recently, and this is now Sega's turn to jump on the bandwagon.
Nintendo have done all right so far. Sony, not so much.
Sony as seems to be the running form right now, made a mess of that. But hopefully Sega will get it right. And it looks like with the lineup that we're getting, it looks like they're actually doing it a good job.
Yeah, for sure. Do we have any information on that?
Yeah, there's going to be 40 games.
Ooh, that's a lot. That is quite a lot, actually.
It is. They get Sonic 2, Castlevania Bloodlines. What have you put there? You've just chucked that in there to throw me completely.
There are two games in here that nobody, unless you live in Japan, will have ever heard of, but I put them in there because of Chris and his love for pronunciating, as if I messed that word up.
Well done. Madu Monogatari.
Itchy.
Yeah.
I do, actually.
And Puyo Puyo 2.
Say that again?
Puyo Puyo 2.
And one more time.
I'm not saying it again. You've had it twice.
All right, fair enough.
So yeah, the console will release with one controller for £48, and apparently two controllers that'll cost you £62.
Oh no, sorry. Don't get confused here. They're basically two variants that we're getting. So we've shown the Japan variants, which is what you just read out.
Right.
And then there's European variant that got announced after.
God.
Yeah, so sorry, this is slightly complicated. So basically, Japan's going to get two variants. It's just a console with one controller. It converts from Japan currency, I'm not going to try and butcher that, to around £48.
See, this is, Chris should have pre-read these notes.
That's okay. Don't worry. Ultimately, again, the source that I used for this decided to put the updates with regards to European announcements at the end of their article. And I already kind of listed this as if it was Japan only at this point, as we only had information regarding the Japan editions.
Okay, so we get one stab at this then over here in Europe. Well, should we still be part of Europe when it launches?
Correct.
As will be £70. They've given us 10 games that will be on that system, which include Echo the Dolphin, Toe Jam and Earl, and the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
I believe we are also getting 40 games, by the way. That's the way I've worded that.
Yeah, we should be getting the list from Japan as well, you would think. I can't see them throwing them in one area and not the other.
Yeah, the three you've just listed there are basically a few of the 10 confirmed for the European release.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, do you think you'll get one of these?
I like the look of it.
It does look cool.
And for that price, it's not bad. But I've sort of dodged all the other mini consoles that have been released, and I don't know why. I guess it's because I don't really like going back in my console life.
I'm a bit like that. It's like I prefer to cherish the memory
Yeah, I don't like to go back and sort of make a mess of what I did enjoy playing back then.
Or tarnish, potentially.
Because gaming has moved on a hell of a lot over the past 20 years or so.
Mm. Unless you're doing it for like nostalgic purposes, which is perfectly feasible. I'm exactly the same. I'd rather just avoid that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Keep my memory of it. One thing that it seems to be unique to this particular mini console is that it's actually going to get full-size controllers. So the six-button controllers that you used to get on the Mega Drive will be the same size in the mini release as they were originally, which is unlike the PlayStation and I believe the mini SNES that also had tiny controllers.
Yeah, they both did.
So Sega have opted to give you full-size ones, which is really cool.
That's very good of them.
So there you go. So that's hopefully going to be out in September this year.
Yeah, end of September they've penciled it in for. So I'm guessing that'll sell well for Christmas.
I can see Dave potentially getting one of these. He likes his retro stuff.
He does, yeah. I'm sure he'll be all over that.
So if he does get one, I would love to know exactly what it's like to use and play and stuff.
I'm sure he'll be more than eager to tell us if he gets one.
For sure. We'll, again, pose it to him next week if we remember, which we probably won't, but there you go. What's up next?
The PlayStation 4 had a software update this week.
Oh, Chris, I bet it was full of really interesting stuff and like features and improvements.
Honestly, they really need to stop bothering with these minor, pointless software updates. So it was update 6.51, which improved system performance and stability. That's it. So you get in.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And can you notice when you're browsing, like when you're using your PlayStation, can you notice an improvement in performance and stability?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely performing better and more stable. Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish, Sony. Come on. Give me something worthwhile with these updates or just don't bother at all.
No. To be honest, I do hate to say this, but Microsoft have pretty much always kicked their backside when it comes to updates for at least the current generation of consoles. And to be fair, Microsoft had to because they had to change so much about the way that the Xbox One worked in the first place. But I mean, God, pretty much every update you get from Microsoft is feature-packed or introduces something new somewhere. Sony just don't seem to want to make strides in that area.
No, Sony just don't tell them anything.
It sucks. What would you like to see? Like, that isn't already there that Sony could probably do? What are people crying out for? Do you have any idea?
That whole name change thing. We're still waiting for that. That was announced the back end of last year.
All right. And it's not been rolled out yet?
No, they were supposed to be rolling out in the spring. And I believe we're into spring now and nothing's happening.
They will probably plead that they said end of spring and that the end of spring is not here yet.
Yeah, hopefully nobody will notice or remember what they said.
Although, that said, I'm fairly sure that the clocks go forward.
The clocks do go forward tonight. We'd lose an hour in bed. I will lose a lot of sleep tonight.
So I would argue to Sony, we're about to go into summertime because the clocks say, so as far as I'm concerned, springtime's over. I'm not angry about this.
I guess we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what Sony have up their sleeves next.
Yeah, well, I don't hold that much hope.
In software update 6.52. More stable.
The more stability. The patch before it, I think, did something very similar. Don't it? Like 6.5, I don't think, was fantastic.
No, it was the same thing. It's absolutely every time they release a software update, it's the same thing. If your console isn't stable now, then it never will be.
I quite agree. And I don't think there's really much more at this point in the PlayStation's life cycle that Sony can do to really increase performance, that kind of thing. There you go. You can grab it now.
You'll have to.
It's a patch.
Yeah, you'll have been forced to earlier in the week.
Yes, you have no choice. We were just telling you that you have no choice and that it's a thing. If you haven't already, be prepared to update your PlayStation for absolutely, seemingly, no reason at all.
Yes. Love it.
Okay, let's have a quick chat about an Anthem patch that's dropped in the last week, Anthem patch 1.0.4. Some new stuff for Anthem, some good, some not good. The not good you've already heard about, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We'll touch on it briefly here, but I will give a quick rundown as to the things that are supposed to be implemented by BioWare with this patch. First up, legendary missions. This is basically a replayable element that introduces replayability with critical path missions that you can replay them at much harder difficulties. So that's a thing. I'm assuming that you're going to get better rewards and such as a result of that play method.
Well, you'd hope so, but who knows?
Who knows whether that's the case? Elysian caches, which is a fairly cool thing to most people. I think this has been something that's been sought after by the player base, at least since launch. You've not been able to really get any vanity items and such in-game by virtue of completing quests and opening chests, that kind of thing. So they've now introduced a thing called Elysian Caches. Basically, daily challenges, will reward something called Elysian Keys that can then be used at the end of strongholds. After the boss fight, you'll get a Elysian Cache. You can use one of the keys that you've got from completing daily challenges to open the cache and get vanity items, which is non-armor and crafting materials, effectively. So that's a thing. No armor is a bit of a disappointment, I think, to most people. That means that all the armor looks and stuff are still exclusive to the meager store that the game has in place at the moment.
Yes, the rolling 3-day updates in the store.
So you can't really get anything through chests and such that will improve how your life is in that area. But they've basically also cited some loot changes, which I think is the bone of contention amongst most people.
Oh, dear God. Yes, the loot.
Do you know anything about this?
I know that the Anthem Reddit's still kicking off. That much I do know.
Is it just, from what I know, it's just down to the amount of loot that drops, like masterwork items and legendaries?
Yeah, BioWare can't seem to get the amount that you get right. I mean, the level I am right now in game, I should be getting better drops than I am, and I'm still slogging away for blues and purples.
Really?
Yeah, I still see the odd blue. The purples are more prevalent, so that's cool. But yeah, honestly, I think I'll see the Pope before I see a legendary item.
Really?
Yes.
Does that mean if you get a legendary item, you're going to have to say something like, God bless you, my child, now, just as penance?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, we'll see if and when that happens.
Haven't played the game since the patch dropped. I was hoping to maybe play a bit tonight, maybe tomorrow. We'll see how the edit goes on this, but can't really say much to it, unfortunately, because I haven't experienced any changes with the loot drops personally. But based on the way that the community's acting, for good or ill, people are kicking off. They don't like the loot changes here, unfortunately. Outside of that, we've got some additional PC settings, which namely introduces some field of view sliders for a bunch of interface elements. The AFK auto kick time has been reduced from 10 minutes to 5 minutes. So if you're AFK for 5 minutes, the game will beat you, basically.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's good or bad.
It's a lot better.
And aside from that, bug fixes and shiz.
Good. What is shiz?
It's just bug fixes. They've fixed some stuff.
Okay. They've fixed some things.
You can get the patch notes. I'll include them in full, or the link to the BioWare article that outlines them again in the podcast description for you to check out if you want to know more about that in detail. But those are the things that are prominent based on the list that I read. Again, going to play it, hopefully give my own thoughts on that maybe next week. Chris hasn't really played enough of it or seen enough in terms of an improvement to be able to really comment on whether that's good or bad.
No, I haven't. I wish I had seen some improvement in it. I think I played it for an hour, maybe two. Post-patch, and honestly,
no change.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just there's something not right. It's still fun to fly around. Combat's still fun, but yeah, sort your loot out. Come on.
I think the whole revision to the loot system is quite honestly, if I'm being painfully honest, going to be needed in order to resolve any of the big issues that Anthem has with its current loot system.
Yeah, I don't think they'll make anybody happy regardless of what they do in this, as of right now anyway.
No, but as of right now, nobody's happy, unfortunately. So we'll keep it covered and let you know whether there's any changes on that front. But once again, the community's still at large with BioWare really on the firefighting front here. Bit unfortunate. So there you go. Finally, we are finally at our last little thing for our new segment here. We've got some rumors with regards to Switch hardware being released this summer, that being new Switch hardware. This comes from a report that was published in the Wall Street Journal, and effectively, it outlines two new rumored Switch hardware types, one that actually has some improved hardware, although we don't have any specifics, unfortunately. We just know that it's potentially improved hardware, and a rumored version that's intended for cheaper price points. And this is supposedly going to include things like non-detachable Joy-Cons and the removal of the integrated controller vibration to try and cut down the cost. So again, no rumored price points or confirmation from Nintendo at this point. But it is something that's making the waves around the media at the moment, so I thought it was worth mentioning. What do you think about this particular batch of rumors regarding new Switch consoles?
The Switch is pretty portable anyway.
I know, right?
Why Nintendo have come to it and thought, you know what, guys, we need to make this a bit more portable. Can you do that? Yes, it's called a Game Boy.
We should just introduce an old school thing.
Yeah, come on. We've been there and done this, boys. Sort yourselves out.
I don't necessarily think making a cheaper version of the Switch is a bad idea. I mean, it's only like, it's about 300 quid or something at the moment. 250 quid?
Yeah, 280. I think 280 at current retail.
Which isn't necessarily a high price. I mean, it's a couple of hundred pounds, but it's no Xbox One, PlayStation 4 Pro price when you think about it.
No, that's it.
But at the same time, if you can imagine a Switch for 150 quid that maybe has some features that aren't included, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, a fair few people would jump on that, definitely.
Be interested to see what they do with the improved hardware, quote-unquote. I don't think that's going to change anything fundamental because that's really going to split the way that games are made, although Microsoft and Sony have both managed to make a success of that so far, so who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it will be better graphics or something like that. I don't know. It'll probably be just an increase to the onboard storage or something like that, a better screen perhaps.
Yeah, there'll be a better bit of tech knocking about by now.
And maybe better motion controllers in the unit itself. I don't know. It depends. Yeah, it's all speculation. We just have an inkling that one is or two new models are going to be dropping at the end of this year. We'll plug more stuff on that as it's made available to us. As always, with everything in this new segment, we'd love to know your thoughts on anything we discussed or anything you might want us to discuss in a future episode. We'll plug some stuff at the end of the show. And as I've said already, you can check the show notes for all that if you want to just reference it there. You can click some good links. And it'll take you right to where you need to be. Right. Shall we move on to this? I was going to move straight on to Chris's Corner then, but I just realised we said that we...
Oh, no, we know there's some feedback this week.
We have some feedback. So let's quickly move on to that segment and talk about what's been sent over to us.
Questions and feedback.
Okay, as far as I know, you've got all the details on this, although, as I said, I have seen some of the feedback personally. Let's talk about it, Chris. Apparently, you're a bit of a douche, mate.
Yeah, I got a text message from a friend this week saying, "Stop slagging off PC gamers." And yeah, it's a fair point. It's not something we cover a lot of. And when we do, I generally just say bad things about it.
You're so harsh.
I know it's not intentional. It's just the way I am.
It's not intentional.
I've never been a PC gamer.
That's like saying, that statement wasn't racist. It's just observational.
Yeah, I know. I am the way I am, but at least I'm not racist.
That's very true. But other than towards PC gamers, quite clearly.
Jake Paul, stick that in your pipe.
Very nice. Well, yeah, effectively the comment that I got on the SoundCloud track was Chris! ! So he was clearly angry. Stop slagging off PC gamers. We are gamers too. And you know what? I actually replied to this.
Did you?
I put, your concern is entirely valid, sir. I may raise this next episode, which I have. I kept my promise because Chris really does seem to have an unjustifiable prejudice.
Oh, shut up. You didn't say that.
I will screenshot at you and send it you over if you like. It's 4 days old, so many people have seen it.
Right.
I'd just like to know, Chris.
Yes.
Are you going to fix this behaviour?
Well, now I've been made aware of it, I will try to be better and more understanding and accepting of other cultures and gamers.
Not that we should ever have had to tell you that in the first place, but please know, we've had some negative feedback. We listen to you, we hear you, and we will fix this.
Sorry, PC gamers.
I'm not going to apologise because I've not been put in the line of fire, although if you want to go back and listen to see whether I have ever slagged off a PC gamer, you can do because it's hits on the listen for us.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That's not justifiable, though. So thank you so much.
No, it's mostly me.
Yeah, I know, right? Do we have a name for the person that left that or sent over to you?
Yes. It was Adam. Thank you, Adam. Your feedback has been noted and you got a little name check. So I hope you're happy.
There you go. Thank you very much, Adam. As always, I like hearing from people like you about stuff like that, especially when it targets Chris.
Yeah, you absolutely love it.
I certainly do.
All the positive comments I get from my corner, it's kind of upsetting when I get something negative.
The ratio is in your favour there, Chris, so, you know, just saying.
It is, yeah, I think I've done all right so far.
You can't win them all.
No, you can't, that is true.
Once again, thank you very much, Adam. As I've probably already plugged a couple of times, I know I have in fact, you can get in touch with us if you want to leave us some feedback. You're welcome to do so. I'll give you more about that at the end of the show anyway. For now, let's move on to that infamous corner itself and see how much he slags off PC gamers this week.
It's time for Chris's Corner.
I will not be slagging off PC gamers this week. Last week's corner was massive.
It was.
So this week's corner is a little bit leaner.
Managing expectations.
That's not to say that I've... That's not to say that I've not got anything for this week, because I've found a couple of things.
Can't wait to hear what you've got.
I know, yeah. Right. We'll start off with Skyrim, which is a PC game.
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of Skyrim?
No.
Are you having a laugh?
Of course.
Elder Scrolls, are you aware of Elder Scrolls?
That's a Take-Two game.
Yes, they are sort of fantasy land...
First-person shooter.
Roaming RPGs. Roaming fantasy RPGs.
Yes, I know them.
Good. There is an old lady who plays Skyrim. She is 82.
God bless.
And she has a YouTube channel where she streams her Skyrimming.
Don't ever say that word.
That's probably not a term I should use.
Oh, God.
oh. So, 82-year-old woman.
I've just had a coffee.
Playing Skyrim. Please, let's not do this again. We broke down last week. I am trying to keep it. No, it's not going to happen, is it? So, she enjoys playing Skyrim and she streams. And she currently sits on 488,000 subscribers to her YouTube channel.
That is insane.
Yes, it is rather. So, yeah, she's enjoying playing Skyrim. And she wants, well, due to some sort of contact with Bethesda, who make these kind of games, she's going to be in Elder Scrolls 6 as an NPC.
That is awesome. Have they actually reached out to her and said that?
They have, yes. They've got in touch with her, and yeah, they've actually mapped her face in-game, and she will be appearing in the new Elder Scrolls game.
That's actually a really nice gesture.
Yeah, it's amazing for her.
That is really, really cool. Have you ever watched any of her videos?
I haven't, no. No, I was unaware of her till I did the research for this corner 2 hours ago. And now I am kind of intrigued.
I just wondered what was so special. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can imagine it's only entertaining to watch an 82-year-old play Skyrim. But if she gets really mad, for instance, that would be even more entertaining.
Yes, that would be really good.
So there you go. Are you going to give me the link to the channel? I'll pop that in the description so our viewers can check that.
I will pop it in the description at the end, yeah, so we can all enjoy this woman playing Skyrim and not Skyrimming.
Absolutely brilliant. Love things like that, especially when, you know, big publishers reach out to people. I mean, don't get me wrong, she's had to get to a hell of a lot of subscribers probably to get to that point, but good on her.
Yeah, she's done very well to hit that many.
And at 82 nonetheless.
Yes, yeah. So we'd be stunned if we hit that many viewers and listeners on this show.
Yeah, no, quite right, actually. That's awesome news, though.
Yeah, yeah. So fair play to her.
Fair play indeed.
Keep going, love. Keep going.
That's not patronising.
Keep going, love. Keep going. It's not like she'll listen. Let's be honest. I don't think we're her target audience.
You don't know, Chris.
I know, yeah.
You don't know.
I've said that. Somebody will dob us in. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
A man got arrested for hacking Microsoft and then hacked Nintendo while he was on bail. And he got arrested again.
Well, that makes some sense.
Yeah. What a guy. Not learning your lesson.
Yeah, if you commit a crime and then go out on bail and proceed to commit that crime again, it's normally frowned upon.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be sort of a bit more careful and keep your head sort of away from anything like this for, well, forever. Because there's somebody guaranteed to have their eye on you.
So do we have any idea as to what, how old was this guy? Do we know what his sentence was, anything like that?
I have a bit more information on the guy. His name is Zamis.
Okay. Is that his handle online or is that...
No, Zamis Clark is his actual name.
Zamis Clark?
Zamis Clark. He's a 24-year-old security researcher.
It's like being called Rajesh Smith.
I know, yeah. It's a bit of an odd one. So he hacked into Microsoft and stole 43,000 files initially.
Were they pertaining to like some really sensitive information or...
Yes, yeah. Names and passwords and all that gubbins.
Oh dear.
Yes. And then while he was on bail, he did the same thing with Nintendo.
I wonder why he was specifically targeting game companies. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know Microsoft does more than just games, obviously. They do a little operating system called Windows.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems a bit weird to me that they also have space in the game. And I wonder if that's relevant. I might be onto something here.
You might. Maybe if we do some research.
I'm a detective.
It's not going to happen though, is it? Let's be honest. Zamis will be hacking us right now.
He's been rearrested though, so that can't happen.
Yeah,
as long as he doesn't get out on bail, we'll be fine.
Yes, yeah, I think we'll be okay. Hopefully he's learned his lesson and not picked up any new tricks while he's been in prison.
Somehow I highly doubt he's going to get a second bail, given the fact that he messed up his first.
Well, you never know. You never know how the whole judicial system works.
So he's gone back to prison. Do we know how long for? Is this a massive crime in the eyes of the law?
Not really, no. No, it's pretty much, it's just a slap on the wrist and say, don't do it again. But I'm guessing they've taken all his tech away from him.
Don't do it again. You just hacked Microsoft. Don't do it again.
He's a security researcher. So, I mean, he's got form and he knows his job. So, I mean, he's doing something right or wrong in the eyes of the law.
I am all for that. But if they're arresting him, it means he's done it on legal grounds. And there are reasonable ethical ways, namely white hat hacking, to be able to do that kind of work responsibly whilst reporting back to the company anything that you might find. In this case, he should know better.
Yeah, he's going to find himself a job either way, isn't he? Doing something like this.
Is he a young kid or an old guy?
He's 24, so I don't know. Maybe he'll have to change his name because that one does stand out a bit.
Relatively young, I suppose.
Yeah.
Don't do hacking, kids. It's the bad stuffs.
Yes, it is. It is. It's not good for anybody, unless you're getting paid for it.
It looks cool.
Yeah, all the TV shows make it look really cool, but it's not cool.
But that's about it.
Yeah, it's not cool.
Hollywood over-glorifies it.
Yes, it does. It does. They make it look really easy. It's not that easy.
I work within that space, within the Linux space, so I know exactly how easy it is, and I can tell you, you only know what you know, and it ain't easy.
Okay. So you're saying it is easy?
Depends on the thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's all I will say.
Okay.
I'm not going to start giving hacking tips at the end of the podcast.
Are you not?
Nope.
Oh, that might get a few extra listeners.
Sorry, not going to do it.
Okay, moving on to my final bit for this week. I don't know. It's sort of relevant. There is a small user base who play Drive Club. Hi, Carl. I know you hate the game. So here's its mention this week. They are actually pulling it from the PlayStation Store in August. They are deactivating the servers next year. So people will no longer be able to play Drive Club.
Oh, what's Carl going to do then?
He'll probably hate me for even mentioning his name because he absolutely hated the game.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see why.
And I just love mentioning it every now and again just to wind him up.
It's certainly no Forza.
Drive Club was massively broken at launch, and I don't think the company ever really recovered from it. The game did improve.
No, that game... I mean, I've actually read a bit up on how the game's development cycle went, and there's a ton that's involved with this, from like people in really senior positions leaving like partway through the project and all sorts of things. So I'm not surprised it was stemmed with problems.
Yeah, it was massively bigged up before launch, and I think everybody was excited for this game that was going to be amazing. And it does look amazing, and the driving is slightly flawed, which is a bit of a problem for a driving game.
Well, it's the core mechanic, so yeah.
Yeah, you're always going to be struggling if you can't actually drive properly in a driving game.
Yeah.
So yeah, there we go. It's good. They're going to kill it. That's it.
So that's a thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to end, and coincidentally, here endeth my corner.
I like that little segue. So unfortunately, if you play Drive Club, that's the end of that. And it's also the end of Chris's corner. I feel sorry for everybody, everybody involved, in fact. That's just a loss for the entire universe, as far as I'm concerned. Drive Club players and Chris's corner fans alike.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that.
No problem.
Awesome stuff as always, my friend. We'll looking forward to seeing what you have next week. And you won't know that until about 2 hours before we do that recording.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to the plugs and wrap this bad boy up, shall we?
Plug Life.
Righty doke. As always, just some quick little tidbits that we kind of get together at the end, just for those that manage to stick around and want to know some other bits regarding Funky Gamer and the ways that you can get in touch with us. Of course, you can check out the website at funkygamer.co.uk. We post all the podcasts and some occasional but very rare news there if we have it. You can tweet at us if you want to get in touch. That's at FunkyGamerBlog, but there is also a contact form on the webpage. If you have a question for the podcast, you can use either of those two methods and drop us some feedback or something, and we'll talk about it as part of the show, as we did earlier. Alternatively, if you want to get in touch with us individually or follow us individually on Twitter, you can do so. I am at Ricky James, the spelling for which is in the description. Chris, you are?
At X_CW.
I plug Dave because he's not here. You can follow Dave at E46. Dave, chuck him some stuff if you like. Well wishes for his final university stuff if you like that. Yeah, I think he'd probably appreciate that, but nonetheless. Finally, of course, you can find us across iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and YouTube as always. Please go ahead, share, rate, subscribe, and follow wherever it's prevalent across your platform. It really does help, and it doesn't cost you a penny. Reviews on iTunes also massively, massively appreciated because it helps our discoverability through the iTunes algorithms. So yeah, if you're feeling particularly kind and you enjoy the show, please go ahead and do that. Finally, Xbox, PSN, stream links, all that kind of thing in the description if you want to check it out. Our Discord has an open invite. I'm going to start promoting this. I said this last week, but I've actually got some posts lined up for social media this week to plug the Discord.
Ooh.
But if you're listening, you want to check it out, you can go to funkygamer.co.uk/Discord. It's just a redirect to an open invite. If Reddit's your platform, you want to chat, discuss things on there, or even just keep up to date with the podcast episodes as they drop, you can check out reddit.com/r/funkygamer. And that is your lot. I don't have anything else.
Do you not?
Chris.
I've got one more thing.
Oh, my God. Do you know, I actually genuinely, for a moment, completely forgot that this had turned into a thing.
I didn't think I was going to have anything for this week, and then something popped up.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No. At least I don't think it is. No, it's definitely not.
Why don't we move on to the thing?
Yes, let's move on to the thing. So if you own a Nintendo Switch and you have Amazon Prime, you can get a free 12 months of Nintendo Switch Online.
I actually nearly included this as a news point, believe it or not.
Did you?
I did, yes. But I thought Chris will have this. Again, I second guessed you.
Yeah, that's very good of you. Consider the lateness that I put this together.
I'm amazed at myself.
I know, yeah. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you have a Twitch Prime account, you need to link them all together with your Nintendo account, and then you could sign up initially for 3 months and then bump on the extra 9 months at the end, taking you to 1 year of free Nintendo Switch Online.
Which is a really good deal for those that have Prime, and a lot of people do. I bet a lot of Switch owners have it as well.
Yeah.
It's a nice little perk. And from what I can tell, I'll quickly question this just because that was a thing that you mentioned. I thought they were pulling the whole Twitch Prime thing.
It seems not. It seems it is still very much alive.
I remember reporting on this a while ago, like end of last year. I'm pretty sure it's something we spoke about as part of one of the podcast episodes. Potentially, anyway. I don't know if that's true. I might have just made it up.
Was that the one I wasn't involved in that never got aired?
Maybe. It was down to the way that we recorded it at the time. It was the first episode that Dave had done exclusively, I think. So anyway, maybe I'll release that at some point as a bonus thing so people can hear it. It's really old now, but there you go. Yeah, I genuinely thought that Twitch Prime had been pulled, but it would seem like it hasn't, and they're only improving the service if you own a Switch.
Yeah, it's because it's all linked to Amazon now, which helps.
Yeah, which is a really cool thing. I think Amazon are really making the value of Prime much better, which is a very hard thing to top because it's already been pretty good, you know, with the next day delivery and the Prime video and music and all the good stuff that you already get with it. For them to keep adding to that without changing the price is awesome.
There we go.
If you're a Switch owner and you have Amazon Prime, your 12 months has just got a lot cheaper.
Yes, for free.
Or the next 12 months has got cheaper, not the 12 months. That could be any 12 months.
Yeah, if you've already signed up, then I'm guessing you can add it on to the end.
Don't listen to me, is what I'm saying. Sometimes I don't think about the words that come out my mouth, and then I'll hear it back as I edit this later, and I think, Ricky, that doesn't make sense.
Most of the show, then.
Basically, I'm surprised people make it this far, but if you have made it this far...
Thank you.
I think we'd like to say thank you. Yeah, we don't have anything else to talk about for this week, unless you have an additional there, Chris, which would be extra surprising.
I know, yeah. No, this week I've done. I had 2 points. I had so many points last week. I think I oversold myself.
You have lived up to your expectations, sir. Do not worry.
That's all right.
Thank you for being here, as always, for helping me record this little episode.
You are more than welcome. Cheers.
Good. No problem at all. Thanks for coming. And yeah, we'll chat next week, Chris. Thank you to every single person that's listening right now. This is the Funky Gamer Podcast, episode 20. We've got something special planned for episode 25, I think, which we're going to talk about very, very shortly. But for now, my name's Ricky James, and as always, I'll speak to you next week.